Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're very welcome to the Andrew Shatkin Blog Talk Radio Show on every weekday evening, Monday through Friday, at 11 o'clock if I'm able to do it, on Saturday and Sunday. And I'll give you a little background, a 5 or 8 minutes background about me. This is a politically incorrect show in which we eschew media lies, falsehoods, and we engage in critical thinking to arrive at truth and facts. We're not interested in political rhetoric, media lies, media falsehoods, etc. Second, I'm a Christian, and I adhere to the ancient creeds of the church fully as a statement of my faith. And I also adhere to the full authority of Holy Scripture from Genesis to Revelation. As well as when I have time, I read a Christian author such as C.S. Lewis, G.K. Chesterton, etc., or T.S. Eliot, or as much of those people as I can fit in my reading schedule. Books are very important to me in print. I think that our society is declining in the absence of books in print. I take the position that our children will be given the opportunities they deserve in terms of the books they deserve, among which would be War and Peace by Tolstoy, Dickens, Thackeray, and Milton, and others. Next, I run two radio shows, a podcast show and a blog talk radio show. Both are visited often by people from Christian China and from Muslim countries. Over 4,300 people have visited my podcast show. People in many countries have visited the Blog Talk Radio show. Both are Christian in orientation, but I welcome all sorts of people. And I've had some wonderful Muslim guests in my podcast show, a novelist, a scientist from Istanbul, and others. I welcome all comers and thinkers on these shows. Second, I am a writer. I've written 10 books, and I have planned 4 more. They read both Christian books and legal books and have sold well nationally and internationally. And I'm very happy with these books, and I'm planning more, 4 more. I've just finished a book on the Psalms, and I'm working on a book on the miracles in the Bible and on the sayings of Christ. I've written a book on the parables, and I've posted 41 of these parables on my website and social media at academia.edu. And so, this is it. So, I have written 3 very important, extensive journal articles on Academicus, an international scientific journal published in Albania. And these articles have been published, have been subscribed to by many, many world libraries all over the world, in both Muslim countries and Christian countries, and they have been bought by the State Department. I also wrote an article on the Syracuse Law Review, which has extensive sales also. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm now going to talk about something. This show, by the way, covers many topics from time to time, both literary. I'm a great fan of English and American literature. I think it's wonderful. I like to read. Books are the heart of my life. I don't think knowledge can be communicated by some sort of a drug on a television or on a computer. I'm not interested in being drugged. I'm interested in gaining knowledge and learning through print medium. So we do speak about literature on this show. We talk about politics and current events, and we talk about theology and biblical studies and biblical history. Tonight we will be talking about something that's very close to my heart and my thinking. It's very important to me, and that is what the Genesis story in Genesis 2 means, the events described of Genesis in the Bible concerning the fall of man, the creation of man and his fall. Many people think this is a lot of nonsense. It's just myths or fairy tales. Also, they're going to say, what do you got to do with people in the garden and with a snake that tempts the woman to disobey God and eat of the tree that she was told not to. So I think there are two ways to see this event, these events. These are very important events, and these are things in which God is trying to tell us something very, very important happened. We can either see them as historical or value, actual events, and if they were events, they were on a cosmic level that we, in time, that we do not really understand today. But these events can be, we can understand them as in history. I think they were in history, but in a level of history that our present time is not geared to. Or we can say they took place outside our present cosmic world system. We take them as at their face value, or we can see them as allegorical. The way we can understand these events is also to see them as allegorical, meaning that God is attempting to explain to us the issue, and it's a very important issue, and it's an issue we all have to deal with in our lives, how evil came into the world. And in presenting these events in the first two chapters of Genesis, possibly, I'm merely speculating a little bit, I think they took place, but not in a time in history that we're familiar with. They were cosmic events outside of our present time and history, but we take them as history, but we can also take them as allegory, in which God is coming down to our human understanding that's in trying to tell us that something took place of a very significant and important character outside of human history and outside of our world, in a sense. Let me talk a little bit, a minute, ladies and gentlemen, about the creation story in Genesis, which is also very, very important and significant. Everything in the Bible is something that we must read and reread and attempt to grasp and understand. And in Genesis chapter 1, God says he makes man in his image, male and female, and tells these first parents to be fruitful and multiply and have dominion over fish, birds, and all living things. So it is clear this creation story envisions a totally different world where there's no violence or hate, and animals, fish, and birds are the servants of our first parents. So in chapter 1, God says that he makes man in his image, and he created them, and he tells our first parents to be fruitful and multiply. And more important, he tells them to have dominion over all fish, birds, and living things. It is quite clear that this creation story envisions a totally different world from the world of evil and hate that we presently live in. It is a world in which the animals, fish, and birds are servants of our first parents. There's a second creation story in Genesis chapter 2 where God forms man from the dust of the ground and breathes life into him. That is the second story. Now, I want to talk now. These two stories have to be understood together. God commands, there's this tree of the knowledge of good and evil and life, and God commands Adam not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil and creates a helper for a man, Eve, taking Eve from one of the ribs of Adam. So there are two creation stories here. Now, I want to talk more important about Genesis chapter 3, the fall story, in which the serpent, and here we have a serpent here, it's generally seen as the devil or Satan. He's in the guise of a serpent. And I suppose Satan can kind of take any form he wants. And the serpent says to Eve, "You shall not eat of any tree in the garden." And the woman says, God had commanded her not to eat from one tree, since she would die. And the serpent says to the woman, "You will not die, and that your eyes will be opened. You will be like God, knowing good and evil." So Eve is tempted. And what the appeal to Eve here of eating of this tree, where God had commanded her not to eat, if he did, and said if she would die if she did, the serpent then says, he lies to her. He says, "You will not die, and in fact, you will be like a god. Your eyes will be opened, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil." And that this temptation that the devil and the serpent puts in front of Eve appeals to her pride, and that she's told, you're going to be great, you're going to be important, you're going to be equal to God. And she gives in to this temptation, this lie that's really hurting her. And this appeals to her pride. And Eve saw the tree was good for food, and there was a delight to the eyes, and it was desired to make one wise. She ate of it and gave the same to her husband. So this story is a deeply profound story, and one which we must reflect on and seek to understand fully. It's a very deep and profound narrative. The mistake that Eve made, it's the mistake of all of us, it was the appeal to her pride. She was told she was like God. She would be something great. She would be something important. She would be equal to the Creator. And so Eve gave into the failing of every person who has ever lived, namely pride. Eve gave into that temptation and reached the emotional and intellectual conclusion that she was above herself, beyond herself, and equal to God, and not a created creature. She gave into that temptation that she would be like a god. She would be important. She'd be significant. That she'd be better than she presently was, and beyond herself, and equal to God, and not a created being. And she gave into that temptation to her pride. None of us likes to be told we are subject to anybody else, or that we have to do what we are told or commanded. Nobody wants to be told that they're subject to someone else and have to do what we are told or commanded. A child will resist obedience to his parents, and even though what they wish the child to obey is good for them, the pride of the child may stand in the way. And pride is the fallacy and mistake to think we are something great, something important, and more important, independent and autonomous. Pride is a mistake that our thinking is the right thinking and the good thing, good thinking. Pride is a fault of human nature that this serpent in the form of a devil appealed to. So nobody wants to be subject to Eve. So you can be like God. You won't be a created being. But nobody like Eve wants to be told you're subject to anybody else. You have to do what you're told or commanded. The child will resist obedience to his or her parents, even though what they wish the child to obey is in their good interests. The child will resist obedience because of their pride, their desire to be autonomous. And pride is a fallacy and mistake to think we are totally independent and autonomous. It's a mistake that our thinking is the right thinking and the good thinking. Our pride always fools us into thinking we are great and greater and others and better than others. So Eve gave in to this terrible temptation and mistake that she could be a god and brought about the fall of your humanity. None of us wants to concede our mortality, our limitations, our failings. None of us wishes to be sufficiently honest with us to say we are not equal to God, nor are we equal to each other. None of us wants to face that reality. We are not equal to God. We are not on a level with the Creator, nor are we equal even to each other. I know I'll never compose a symphony, write an epic poem, or play professional basketball. The serpent fooled Eve into lured her into thinking that she could be something, a god, equal to God, that she could never be and never would be. Pride is the mistake that Eve made. It's foolishness, it's stupidity. The pride of Eve resulted in such a destructive fall that it brought our present world its evil and destructive influences. The story is true. We've all shared in this fall, and all of us are fooled about ourselves through that appeal of that serpent to our pride. I think the events in Genesis chapter 3 happened, and that there was a fall, and through this act of pride, appeal to pride, this weakness in human nature, and we all shared in this fall. And as a result of this fall, we are not what we should be as persons. We cannot be or should be as persons because of what happened at that point. This fall brought a twisted, mixed up, and confused world, not the world envisioned by God, a world where love is shared, but instead a world of constant turmoil and hostility, which ends for also all of us in death. The reality is Eve made that mistake and brought evil into the world, brought mistakes, brought a world of constant turmoil and hostility, and brought death into the world and pain and suffering. The small story is true in Genesis because we can't escape who we really are. And the message in that story is our great failing and pride and egotism. John Milton, the great English poet, correctly analyzed the person of Satan in Book 2 of Paradise Lost. We have the picture of Satan in his overwhelming and incredible pride, where he states he would rather rule in hell than serve in heaven. Satan made that same mistake in leaving heaven with angels, sharing his dislike of being under anybody. His fault was his pride, and that pride and rebellion led to his destruction, and that he wished to share his condemnation in hell. The great sin of Satan and all of us was his pride and arrogance. His great desire is to bring the fall of humanity into his thinking and dominion. Satan was cast out of heaven because he didn't wish to obey and preferred to rule in torment than have eternal joy in heaven. And he wants us to make the same mistake. And he appealed to Eve through her pride, and he brought her and all of us down to the present evil and destruction that we live in. The fault that he had the perception and a great intellect to understand the weakness in human nature, and in the guise of the serpent, he appealed to Eve's pride and thereby brought her down and all humanity down to the present turmoil and confusion and evil and death and pain and suffering that is the condition of all of us in this world, ending in death. I hope you've enjoyed this little word about fall. I think it's true. I think it can be taken as literally true. And if it's taken as literally true, it took place in a realm, a cosmic realm, outside of our present time and understanding. But it can be also be interpreted as God trying to come down to us allegorically and try to explain to us that something terribly wrong happened to cause the present evil in this world and the dominion of evil in this world and pain and suffering and death. Something terribly went wrong, and God is coming down to us in this story in Genesis 3 and trying to explain to us our limited human nature that something radically wrong happened, that only the rest could had to be rescued by the crucifixion and death of Christ and his resurrection and his offer of love and eternal life in heaven. I hope you enjoyed this little talk, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to read about the fall of man, read it in chapter 40 of my book, Essays on Faith, Politics, Culture, and Philosophy, and you can learn about what I think is the meaning of the creation and fall of man in Genesis. Hope you enjoyed this little story, this little talk, and I hope you have gained some knowledge from it. I have some knowledge, but I can always learn from others more fully. The main thing is I know that I am determined not to fall into that fault of pride that Satan constantly appeals to in human nature, our egotism, our arrogance, and our self-love and self-interest. He appeals to it, he works with it, and he knows that's the weakness in human nature that he can work with to gain his ends. Okay, I hope you've enjoyed this little talk and found it of benefit. You can find this in chapter 40 of my book, Essays in Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy, on pages 111 to 113. Good night.